Bless you. Welcome. Go ahead, give her a hand. She's a gift. Before my remarks this week, and this week I'm going to be trying to help kick off these 21 days of prayer by emphasizing a particular foundation from which we can pray, I want to mention what we're going to begin doing next Sunday. I expect to do a three-week series on the kingdom of God is like, dot, dot, dot. And it's going to be a pretty unique approach to it. I'm going to use our friend, many of you know, Jason Norum. I think I'll keep some of it a surprise, but I'm going to have him come be with me to help me explain what the kingdom of God is like, because he has particular expertise in certain areas, and I know some of you are surprised, but it'll be a pleasant surprise. He has particular expertise in particular areas that I think can help us learn what the kingdom of God is like in new and vivid living color. I'm looking forward to that, and I wanted to announce that so that you'd be here to hear that as well. Well, today we're beginning corporately to approach the Lord as a group, as a family, for our 21 days of prayer. As Katie said, we do this about twice a year. Katie, how many years have we been doing this now? 18th season, so about 9 years we've been doing this. And it's become a pretty special season for many of us. Some of us have testimony of answers that came during those seasons. Sometimes it was employment, sometimes it was a healing or some other kind of blessing, or sometimes just being in his presence. Wasn't it wonderful to be in his presence today? Or let me qualify, isn't it wonderful to be in his presence today? Well, as we get ready to go into this next season of prayer, I'm wanting to strengthen the platform from which we will pray. I want to encourage boldness. I want to encourage stronger faith and hope as we approach this season. Now, approaching someone is not always an easy thing to do, depending on your relationship. And if we're honest, it's not always easy to approach God, depending on the condition of your relationship on a particular day. How many would acknowledge it's not always been easy for you to approach God? Well, I have my own experience with that as well. The ease with which we can or can't approach someone is often expressed in the name that we call them. For example, come here, baby. And since I'm using that one, and where is my baby? Is she in the room? She's sleeping. My littlest grandchild is in the room. Well, almost in the room today. Make sure you get a chance to see her before you leave. But it's a wonderful, tender thing with hands, arms outstretched towards you there. Come here, baby. Most of the time, she extends her arms back. Or, hello, son. That's an easy one for me to say. Or, how's my girl? And that could be any of my granddaughters, or it could be my grown daughters. Or, sweetheart. I still remember the first time I called Glenda sweetheart. It was Valentine's Day of the year 1979. It represented a change in our relationship, and it not only represented what had changed, but it set in momentum more changes yet to fall. As compared to other names that we might call someone, and it has a different feeling. For example, sir. Now, there might be a respect for that person, but there's a certain kind of safe distance. For example, when 2 weeks ago or so I was in the alley here and a cop followed me in the alley and turned on the red and blue lights of his car, and I addressed him as sir, an officer, and there was nothing, huh? And I got a warning. I didn't get a ticket. Or sometimes you might call someone ma'am, and there's a certain kind of formal distance there. Or like I said, officer, and you show respect. I remember when he pulled me over, and I know you're curious, right? Well, the reason is because this street was cut off over here a couple weeks ago for the Kris Kringle thing. So I came down the wrong way, this one-way alley, and he got me. And he asked for my driver's license. I gave it to him. He gave it back. He says, I know you're the pastor here. He said, you know better than that. Got me. While I was sitting in my car, while he was doing what he was doing, I noticed that somebody got in their car next to my vehicle, and I had them blocked in. So I really wanted to move out of their way, but I didn't want to move. I didn't want the cop to think I was driving away. He says, officer, may I please move my car? There was just a certain kind of fear even and the title that I used with the police officer. Well, God has many names and titles. And the name or the title that we're using with God will reflect something about what we're appealing for in that moment or the feeling of our relationship with God at that moment. For example, sometimes God is called healer. And you might declare him and remind yourself to be healer when you're praying for a healing, your own healing or somebody else's healing. Or defender, when just life is coming at you harder than you ever imagined that it could. And Lord, you're my defense, you're my shield, and you appeal to him that way. Or savior, maybe if you're feeling particularly stricken with sin or shame or whatever it would be. Well, the text that Liz read for us today is telling us about a bias that God has for how he wants to be addressed by us, the name that he wants to be called. Most importantly, it talks about how he prefers to be addressed, or the name that he's giving us tells us about the kind of relationship that he has with us, wants to have with us. Not just call me this name, but let's have this kind of relationship. Let's have the kinds of conversations that this name and this relationship makes possible. Let's have the kind of intimacy that this name and relationship makes possible. Let's look closer at the text. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. If you want to get right down to it, I believe with all my heart that God, yes, healer is appropriate. Yes, defender is appropriate. But at the bottom of it all is his father heart. And oh, that he can call us children. We'll wait. That's okay. Us children, and we have the blessing and the privilege of calling him father. We are not slaves. It's not like the police officer in his car with the lights flashing and me and mine waiting for what's going to happen next. And this relationship is expressed in the words, Father, or as it puts in Abba, the familiar, Dad. Dad. Some would even say that Abba implies daddy. Today in Hebrew, today in certain Middle Eastern languages, the word Abba is still used for the affectionate, intimate name for dad. When we were first starting Christ Community Church years ago, back when it was known as the United Pentecostal Church, maybe even before the first service, there were lots of planning meetings going on. And I remember one particular conversation I had with my dad. Dad, when we start this church, what do you want me to call you? Pastor Nordstrom? Or Brother Nordstrom? Or Dad? Guess what he made clear? I called him. There is no name, there is no title, there is no nothing greater than calling me Dad. Just call me Dad. Nothing more meaningful, nothing more beautiful that you can call someone other than Dad, Mom, Parent. Nothing like that authority, nothing like that affection, nothing like that safety, Dad. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirits that we are God's children. Not just his servants, certainly as has been spoken already, not slaves. It's not just a personal wish or bias that orients us to see ourselves as children of a loving dad. It's God himself who wants to be known as dad. It's the Spirit of God within us that makes us know that we are God's children. It's not your mere fantasy. It's not your mere wish. It's the Spirit himself that puts it in us to want to call him father or even dad. We are family to father, to our heavenly dad. There was another decision that we made some years back, early 90s actually. In the earliest days of the church, we used to call each other Sister Rubalcaba, Brother Rubalcaba, Brother Max, whatever. And there just came this decision, if we're really brothers and sisters, we probably won't call each other brother and sister. We'll probably call each other by first name. And that's why we've done that since then. Because we really are family. And we really are seeking after our Father. Here's one of the ways that this whole name thing works in my heart and in my life. The scriptures tell us that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And ever so often, I'll pay attention to what automatically comes out of my mouth sometimes. And I can remember a season of my life, and it was a particularly heavy season, actually. But whenever I would be walking along or in the car, automatically sometimes would come the words, "Merciful God." And I just knew, and I was paying attention to that automatically, I just knew that I was feeling the heaviness, and I was counting on the mercy of God. And my heart was full of the need of that mercy and the desire for that mercy. And automatically out of my heart would come, "Merciful God." Interestingly enough, for me, it has changed. I don't know when it changed. I don't know why it changed, but it happened again already earlier this morning. I'm walking along, I'm going along, and automatically will come to me, "Bless your name." And it's a different feeling than the merciful God one. The merciful God was a bit of a plea, and the "bless your name" is he's answered. He's heard my cry. He's heard my prayer, and I'm living in his blessing, and I just want to say, "Bless his name." It's not a conscious thing that I do. It's just kind of automatic. A sincere praise and automatic appreciation. Well, our text today talks about a different name. The name Father or Abba or Dad in particular. Now, I have a desire to grow my relationship with God. In fact, to this day, I'm in a 9-month course of learning how to pray, actually. And I'm learning new avenues of approaching God in prayer. But some years ago, or over the years, ever so often, I've wanted to experiment with what these verses talk about in calling him Abba, Father, or even Dad. And so ever so often, I'd kneel down or just close my eyes, or maybe in the car, I would utter the words, "Dad," and then begin to pray. And to be honest with you, it felt awkward. It felt a little too familiar for me. I don't know why. I just wasn't used to it. But ever so often, I'd try it again. And again, just kind of an awkward kind of feeling. Well, a few years ago, actually, I was in a new season of life. And it was a season that's really kind of marked by moving into the house that Glenn and I have moved into. For several years, the owner of the house that we live in pursued Glenda and I. You know, John and Glenda, you're supposed to buy this house. You're supposed to have this house. In so many words, she was saying, "This is the house where you're supposed to conduct your ministry that you've been dreaming about for years and actually been participating in for some years." And to be honest with you, the house was a house that we never would have chosen for ourselves. It was too large than we would have ever dreamed for ourselves. It was too nice. It has a gate that you have to have open to go into the house. It's just crazy. But she just persisted for about 2 years to get us to buy that house. So we decided to test her, and I'm cutting out lots of the details. But one day I was on vacation, and Glenn and I were on vacation with the extended family. We got one more communication from home from Gentry. Said that lady sent her realtor in again and said, "John and Glenn are supposed to have this house. Somebody else wants to buy it, and they want to put an offer on it this afternoon. And she wants you to have one more chance." And I wrote back and said, "Thanks, but no thanks." We got home and learned that she had decided one more time to not receive an offer because she wanted John and Glenda home and in the United States of America to have one more chance at that house. And for the first time, I thought, maybe it's been God that's trying to make us aware of this. So we went to the bank. We thought about a significantly lower number. Low enough that it'd be easy for her to refuse. And after that, we looked at the house one more time. And we said, "All right, we'll receive this house if we can do it at this lower number." And within 60 seconds, she said yes. And threw in some furniture and no counter offer or no nothing like that. Something happened in me. Something happened to the automatic expressions that began to come out of my mouth. And in one of the early days after that real estate transaction, I had this urgency in me to run to this very room because this is one of my favorite places to pray. I get to walk around and pace if I want to. And I hurried to this room, and I was overwhelmed with gratitude. I just fell to my knees this time, and automatically out of my mouth came the words, "Dad, Dad, what have you done? I was struck with how automatic it was. I also see a spiritual director once in a while where I have spiritual conversations about what's going on in my life and what it might mean and so forth. And I was quick to take this story back to my spiritual director. And I said, look, this whole house thing happened. And I felt urged, compelled to go pray one day. And this automatically came out of my mouth. And I said, what does it mean? He said, John, you're asking that question too fast. Savor this for a while longer, and then ask what it means. So I went home, and I began to journal about this experience. And in the journaling, it came to me. Whenever I have addressed God as Lord or Father, I'm preoccupied with my love for Him and my respect for Him. But when the day came that my heart was so full I had to run to this room to say, Dad, my heart was preoccupied not with my love for Him, but with His love for me. And my language changed from Father to Dad. It's still not always the automatic thing for me to say Dad, but it's a lot easier for me than it used to be, as I have a new appreciation, not just of my love for Him, but of His love for me. It happened again to me recently when I was missing my children. We've been through a busy season and, of course, a whole year of a cancer journey with Glenda. But we just hadn't been able to get together on the same rhythm for Sunday nights for a while, and I was missing them. I was in the car driving, and automatically, as I began to talk to the Lord, He said, Dad, Dad, I miss my kids. And the connection was automatically made. Dad knows what it's like to miss kids. Dad was understanding me as I was missing my kids. The name we call Him tells us something about the nature of our connection with Him. My slide jumped ahead of me there for a moment. It's important, since we are children and therefore heirs of His, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, that if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. In other words, let me put this real paraphrased. He's Dad, we're the kids, brothers and sisters, and families have trouble. Families have sufferings. And in those troubles and in those sufferings, temptations come to family members, and one of the worst temptations is the temptation to just cut off. I'm not coming back. I'm not showing up. And the truth is, that's an important issue in family therapy. I mean, when you study family systems, whenever you begin cutoffs as an answer to the relationship problem, it tends to begin a generational kind of thing. I'm aware of a family right now that I'm working with that at least three generations of mine, the family's plagued with cutoffs to great pain. If we're children, we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs. If we share in His sufferings, if we endure together as family, we're going to receive the glory that's a part of being in His family, in Dad's family. We're blood relatives with each other. That might sound strange, but this was driven home to me a few years ago. I was asked by the Presbyterian Church to join their leaders for a weekend to talk to them about community. And I would be talking to them for what the scripture teaches about community. And ever so often I would say that we're family or we're brothers and sisters, even though we're not blood, I would say. I just said that several times throughout the weekend. At the end of the weekend, John Walker, my friend, said, we're going to do one more thing together. We're going to have communion. And they passed out the wine, they passed out the bread. And I had an insight. We're blood relatives. It was the Lord. It was His blood. He's Dad. I'm son. You're son or daughter. We're family. We've got important things to be praying about. This is no time to be separating from each other. This is no time for cutoffs. We want the Spirit of God to be poured out among us. One reason why is we say every week we're a community of people learning to live and love after the pattern of Jesus. You know how much ministry Jesus would have done without the power of the Holy Spirit? None. God made sure that the Spirit was poured out on him at his baptism. On the very first day of his ministry, oh God, let your presence, let your Spirit keep falling on us so that we can fulfill our aspiration to live and love after the pattern of Jesus. So that we can fill our aspiration to be a Spirit-filled and Christ-forming community. Joining him in his nature. Joining him in his mission. Joining him as laborers in the harvest. It makes a difference how we cry out. And how we cry out makes a difference if we think he's Lord or cop or judge or dad. It makes a difference. It makes a difference when we pray if we have confidence that he's listening, that we matter to him as much as a father, as a son would matter to a father. Our faith is stronger when we perceive him to be our dad and not just our judge. And I think that a lot of people in our country, whether or not they realize it all the time, must believe this. They must believe that if you cry out to dad, if you cry out to father, it might help. And if you're not convinced, have you paid attention to the news this week and the story of Damar Hamlin? Damar Hamlin is an NFL football player. He tackled somebody in a Monday night game, and in the tackling, something happened to his heart, and he practically died on the field. His heart stopped. Yeah, his heart had to be resuscitated 2 times. The doctors were doing what they can do, but look what the players are doing. Opposing teams are gathering around him on their knees, crying out to God, save our brother. Save our friend. Another one cried out. I don't know if you know this story. This is an ESPN. Listen to this.
Football gave me everything. Now, and I think even through the midst of absolute tragedy last night, I think you saw some of the beauty of football as well that has brought us all here together. This is a little bit different. I've heard it all day, like thoughts and prayers. And you just heard Sheriff and Jonathan Allen say, like, all we can do is pray for him. And I've heard the Buffalo Bills organization say that we believe in prayer. And maybe this is not the right thing to do, but it's just on my heart that I want to pray for
him. It is.
Damar Hamlin, right now. I'm going to do it out loud. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to bow my head, and I'm just going to pray for him.
So this is ESPN.
God, we come to you in these moments that we don't understand, that are hard, because we believe that you're God, and coming to you and praying to you has impact. We're sad. We're angry. And we want answers, but some things are unanswerable. We just want to pray. Truly come to you and pray for strength for Damar, for healing for Damar, for comfort for Damar. Be with his family to give them peace. If we didn't believe that prayer didn't work, we wouldn't ask this of you, God. I believe in prayer. We believe in prayer. We lift up Damar Hamlin's name in your name. Amen.
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 There are some situations you can't just be polite about, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father, he's going to die without you. And millions this week have been praying with results. This came out, I think, yesterday from Damar, who's now has a beating heart. The ventilator has been taken out of him, so he's breathing on his own, and he can talk on his own, and he can write, and he writes, when you put real love out into the world, it comes back to you 3 times as much. The number 3 has been a big number this week, because that's his number. The love has been overwhelming, but I'm thankful for every single person that prayed for me and reached out. We brung the world back together behind this. If you know me, you know this only going to make me stronger. On a long road, keep praying for me. Now, for the fun, I don't know if you can see it, but down there at the bottom where it says a million others, I whited out something, and I'll show what that is now. Liked by Gentry Nordstrom and 1.5 million others. It matters that we cry out. But we didn't need Damar Hamlin for us to know the power of crying out to God in prayer. Look at this picture. And we've already heard about Lexi today. I was just an amazing thing when just about 2 weeks ago on Christmas Eve, we were getting ready to start the service, and Katie was opening the meeting and looked over that direction, and there was Mom and Lexi walking in here after those months of being in the hospital. Go ahead. I don't remember the week that we actually did this, but I remember when I felt impressed on a particular Sunday morning. John, I want you to lead the congregation in prayer on behalf of Lexi. And I remember in particular that I wanted it to be a loud prayer. And the reason I wanted that, well, I think I wanted it because I think that was the Spirit leading. But intellectually, I wanted it because we were not getting good reports up to then. And it was getting scary about her very survival. And I just couldn't imagine what that's like for parents, because I remember when our little one was in a NICU, intensive care unit for neonates. And I just remember us being led by the Spirit to raise our voices that particular week on behalf of Lexi. And what was going on, or what happened throughout that week, then, is she was doing poorly at the beginning of the week and doing poorly when we prayed. And it got worse for about one day before it took its turn for the rest of the week and every day since. As beyond medicine, God has heard our prayers because we cried out. And I believe it was led by the Spirit who was saying, speak to Abba, speak to Father on behalf of Lexi. Lexi's with us today because we had the security to cry out. I know it's natural to want to be polite when you pray and proper when you pray. But sometimes if life is raw to you, just give yourself permission and let the Spirit lead you to cry out, Dad, I can't do this without you. Who should we direct our prayers towards, and with what level of boldness and confidence? May I suggest you experiment with Dad. One more story. A few years ago, I was counseling somebody in my office, and it was a private practice client. And I like to be protective of those conversations, confidentiality. I don't like there to be too much noise on the other side of the door. Sometimes we use a white noise machine to cut down that noise. But on one particular day, I was in the middle of a counseling conversation when there's a small knock on the door. And I went to the door, and there was one of my little daughters. I got frustrated. Please, I'm busy. I'm sorry, go that way. Put her out. I sat down on my couch, expert counselor that I am, you know, and realized immediately how stupid was that. That little girl wanted nothing but to say hi to her daddy. And daddy got preoccupied with his work and missed the opportunity. So I got back to concentrating when there was another different little knock on the door. And this time I was ready. It was the other little daughter that I had. And I welcomed her with open arms because I'm her dad. I may be counselor to this person. I may be something else to this other person. But you're my girl. And forgive me for whatever I didn't do the last time, but I'm making up for it this time. May I suggest in this 21 days of prayer that you do new experiments in your prayer life. Give yourself permission to explore different depths of closeness with him. And maybe even use the word father or dad. I know that that can be tricky for some folks, especially those who never had a great relationship with mom or dad. I'm asking you to trust us that he's a good dad. Has no errors or faults like our earthly fathers or mothers. And he'll respond to you in any interruption that you bring him better than I did the first time to one of my daughters. I wonder if you'd pray with me.